Hello and welcome to the podcast of Lotus Eaters. This is episode 439 on the 19th of July. I'm your host, Harry, joined today by Josh.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about a few things, including how black crimes matter, certainly more than black lives, how the heat wave in England is doing a number on all of us, as you can tell from our somewhat casual dress that we've got in right now. I've chosen the perfect colour for it.
I'm not just going to be giving you a weather forecast, obviously. I'm going to be talking about how the alarmism around it. I mean, it's hot. It's nice for once. But they're trying to set things up to put in place these climate lockdowns, which is the real sinister thing that I think is being kind of softened up for mass consumption, I suppose.
Yes. And the last thing we're going to talk about is no tax cuts for the plebs, says Rishi. Before we go into any further, I would just like to draw your attention. I have released an article on the website this morning entitled My Run-In with Cancel Culture, because sadly, if you've not read it yet, the article goes into how my experience over the weekend, I did get cancelled by my band's management company, who have forced me out of my band that some of you may have been aware of through my talking about it on here. So if you want to know the story of that, you can go onto the website and check it out. It's a very quick read. And to everybody who's commented so far, both on Twitter and on the website, thank you so much. I really appreciate the support that you're all showing me there. So
I mean, it's a really sad thing, because I could tell how much it meant to you, and then they took it away, and you came in on Monday so disheartened. I felt so bad for you, because you definitely don't deserve it. You're not exactly a bad intentioned person, are you?
No, I would like to think not, but apparently
I feel like if you had a spirit animal, it would be a golden retriever.
Why does everybody say this about me?
Does everyone say that?
Everybody, especially when I used to have my long hair as well, because I looked a bit like one. But thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's commented so far, because it's been a bit difficult. But once again, thanks for the support. Anyway, let's get into the news. So, black crimes do matter, certainly more so than black lives, sadly, at least to demonstrators and protesters, and anybody looking to make a quick buck from a political cause. Before I go any further, I'll just point to a recent article that we've had on the website called Macy Gray and the Twitter Mob by John Tangney. It's an article for premium subscribers, so if you've got a bronze membership, you're able to read it, and if you've got a silver membership, you're able to listen to the audio track from our fantastic Jonathan Crow. So go check that out if you're interested. Let's get further into it. So Minneapolis, I believe, is the place where George Floyd died, was it not?
I believe so.
Yes. Well, there's been another event there, as the Minneapolis police snipers fatally shot a man, Andrew Tekel Sundberg.
And there has been Tekel? Tekel? How's it pronounced?
I don't know.
Should we just call him by his full name in proper
Andrew
British way?
Andrew Sundberg.
I'm not going to call you by your silly
going to call
pet
him
name.
Mr. Sundberg.
Or that's at least much better.
The late Mr. Sundberg, as it should be, because he got shot and he died. And there are some parts of the news when this first happened that were trying to avoid pointing out exactly what it was that he got shot for. But there has been some news developing in this, and I really think it does show the kind of brainless attitude a lot of activists have, because they really don't care who it is that they're marching for, as if the evidence that we've already seen over the past few years wasn't clear enough of that. But anyway, two Minneapolis police snipers shot 20-year-old Andrew Tekel Sundberg, the late Mr. Sundberg, following a multi-hour standoff earlier this week on the city's south side. New documents filed on Friday show that these snipers were posted on the roof of a building across the street from the third-floor apartment where Sundberg was holed up. The BCA, the top law enforcement agency of the state, is investigating the deadly use of police force. It still remains unclear what exactly prompted the officers to shoot. And that, as far as I can tell from all the developments that have gone on since there, that is still the case, where we don't really know what it was that he did that prompted them to shoot beyond the initial incident that started off the whole police standoff in the first place. So it'll be interesting to find out what when the police release that information. According to the investigators, Sundberg fired multiple shots inside the Seward neighborhood apartment building on Wednesday night, and a neighbor, Arabella Yarborough, called 911 saying a stray bullet had gone through her wall.
That might be why they shot him. That because he had a gun and he was shooting indiscriminately through walls.
That could be why, but once again, they were in a standoff with him in for 6 hours, so that's definitely why they showed up in the first place. The first loud bang that I heard, I didn't know it was a gunshot, she told the television reporters. Moments later, a second bullet tore through the kitchen wall and she grabbed her two young sons and hid in the bedroom where she called the police. Not long after, she ran to let officers into the building and told them to save her children. I thought, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it, she said. After police got Yarbrough's sons out of the apartment, Sundberg isolated himself inside his unit and officers spent hours trying to negotiate with him. Around 4:30 a.m. on Thursday, the two snipers shot him, fatally wounding him, and he died at Hennepin Healthcare, which I assume is a hospital nearby there. According to the search warrants, the investigators recovered a pistol with an extended magazine and several bullet casings from Sundberg's apartment. Also recovered was a bullet fragment from the neighbouring apartment unit. So what she's saying about the bullets going through into her flat, sounds pretty true to me. Mm-hmm. This is not the sort of person that I'm going to be shedding any tears over, sadly, because he was firing indiscriminately in an apartment building. And honestly, by the sounds of it, it's a miracle that nobody died as
a result
of him.
Yeah, that poor woman with her two kids. Those kids are probably traumatized. I imagine if I were a kid and someone was shooting through the walls of where I was living, I would be like scarred for life, just worried constantly that a stray bullet's going to hit you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, when you get out of something like that, you think to yourself, oh God, that could just literally happen at any point now. So what are you going to do? On Thursday night, his friends and family held a vigil to remember him outside the apartment where he died. In a statement, his family said Sundberg struggled with his mental health. While we have received very little information thus far, by all accounts, it sounds like our Tekel was suffering from a mental health crisis. We send our deepest sympathies to anyone in his building impacted by his crisis, and we thank the community members who have come forward in loving memory of Tekel, the family statement said. So they're playing it up like it was just a mental health crisis that led to him firing a gun randomly in an apartment building and endangering everybody around him, which is not a particularly justifiable position. And of course, we'll get into a little bit later, they have immediately started playing the race card on this, which is especially interesting given that he was their adopted son. I believe that the family, I know the father is white, I don't know about the mother, but they adopted him from Ethiopia, I think it was. I don't know if he was an orphan or anything, but he was an Ethiopian who was up for adoption. They brought him over, have raised him, and evidently, I think they were raising him alongside 8 other children as well. So they were obviously a very generous family. I'm not going to put any real shame on them for doing what they did. They were obviously trying to perform an act of charity by taking someone from an impoverished background and trying to raise him in America where he could be a bit more prosperous. But sadly, it seems that whatever demons were chasing this guy, mental health-wise, led to him doing this.
It's not really an excuse though, is
no,
it?
Of course,
if you're shooting off a gun.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, other than any speculation that's been put forward so far, why he was firing the gun in the first place. It may have been a mental health crisis, like they're saying. It could have been something else. We do need to wait for some extra information before we can say exactly. I think the police are trying to release the body cam footage as quickly as possible, because there were loads of police officers on the scene with hundreds of hours of police cam footage.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if it wasn't all filmed.
Yeah, of course, it was all filmed, so we'll know exactly what it was that prompted the snipers after the family were removed out of the situation, what it was that prompted them to shoot him, which will be interesting, but it doesn't really justify what he did in the first place, of course. But yeah, they held the vigil for him, and I don't understand why exactly you would feel bad for this man. Once again, he was a man who could have very easily been a double child murderer if the bullet had just gone off in the wrong way, or at least manslaughter. And they also held a demonstration for him, where they say here, people gathered outside his apartment where he was shot and killed by the police. Demonstrators joined family members as they demanded more answers from law enforcement. More answers. He was shooting in an apartment building, could have killed people. They took care of that. They made him no longer a threat to the people around him. I think that's all the answers you want. Obviously, when the police cam footage comes out, we'll be able to see why it was that they chose to shoot him rather than get him into a position where they would be able to arrest him. But once again, this reeks to me of trying to justify what it was that he did, or at least sweep it under the rug and turn it into a police matter, because police shoot black man is, of course, one of the greatest ways to grab headlines and get yourself money.
The media is very slimy about this, in that they're well aware of the details of the situation, and quite often they conceal them. There was a shooting I covered with Callum not too long ago, where they only mentioned that the person who was shot in the back running from his vehicle was shooting at the police as he was driving away.
Yes, I think I mentioned this guy in passing and had actually managed to miss out by accident the fact that he'd been shooting at the police as well before they opened fire at him. So it is very interesting how they are always very selective with particular details to try and push a particular narrative. And libs of TikTok managed to get hold of some footage of him that he posted on his old TikTok. And we'll just play this because we want, once again, just to show that this man, he may have had a mental health crisis, but it seems that he was somebody who was not particularly all there to begin with. Just play this to show his character.
I don't know how you hoes be doing it.
Is he wearing a shower cap?
Me, personally? If a bitch came to me as a woman, I'm coming to her as a bullet.
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means. All I know is that whatever that was a threat of shooting people, which, very interesting that he ended up almost shooting a woman and her children. And I will say, I don't want to sound harsh here. The man is dead, but he does sound legitimately retarded. Like, honestly, he did, though. We can't deny it.
Well, to do what he did, you've got to be a little bit like that, don't you?
Yes, just a little bit. And if we move along as well, the family have been calling for the police footage to be released, as I've mentioned. And they mentioned something interesting here, which makes me believe that they are trying to, once again, spin the narrative a little bit here. Officers allegedly, according to the father, refused the requests of Tekel Sundberg's father, Mark Sundberg, to enter the building and speak with his son during the six-hour police standoff. It's very, very interesting that they would say that. Obviously, enter the building during a standoff is probably not the best idea because you're just offering yourself up as a hostage in that situation.
They don't know the mental state of the guy in there, and if they send someone in, well, potentially they're endangering more people. So I understand why they did it. It could have worked.
Perhaps, but there's a problem with that particular statement because it's implying that they never let him speak to him at all. Whereas actually, if we go to the next one, there is footage of him over the PA with the police trying to speak to Andrew and trying to calm him down and trying to get him to put the guns down, etc. So would you want to play this just so we can see a bit? There is some subtitles here as well because the audio is a little bit hard to make out.
Exactly, this is your dad again.
Saying this is your dad.
I need you to talk to the negotiators.
Need you to talk to the negotiators.
I just want to talk to you right now, okay? Give them 30 seconds, that's all. Just to know what's going on. Not asking you to come on, just talk to the negotiators. They're going to call.
Andrew Sundberg, resident of 904 21st Avenue South.
So this just seems to have been taken from live footage of people in the surrounding area were capturing as the incident was going on.
As the negotiators are trying to contact you, please answer the call.
Bruh.
As the police department are trying to get in contact with you.
Bruh. They did, yeah.
It's very weird with an earpiece on. The police department or outside of 904 21st Avenue South.
So yeah, I think that's all we need. The rest of it just seems to be the negotiator. Yeah, there's another subtitle there just saying, we need you to pick up the phone. So the father was given the opportunity to try and talk his son down. And, you know, fair play to him. I completely understand that this must be a tragic moment in their lives because their son not only is dead now, but also went out in such a horrible way that put other people in danger. That would really make you second guess yourself as a parent, especially an adoptive parent as well. You wonder where exactly you went wrong. But the problem is that trying to spin it and trying to make it sound like it's purely the police's fault is obviously taking responsibility off of yourselves as parents and also off of him as somebody with autonomy over his own actions.
Well, you certainly can't say that the police didn't try and talk him out of it. They didn't just go along and shoot him immediately.
They were there for 6 hours.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's been some other developments. John's just making some notes here, but it doesn't really matter. If we go to the next article, we can see as well that what they've been talking about is that Arabella Foss Yarborough who is the mother of the children who were almost shot, has not been particularly happy with the fact that there were a load of BLM protesters and brainlit demonstrators outside of her apartment building, memorializing the person who almost killed her children.
Yeah, imagine going for a traumatic event and then a bunch of those idiots just turn up outside, like saying that they were wrongfully killed when the person who was killed almost shot your kids. I mean,
you would not be in the mood for it, would you?
And we definitely see that in the video, don't we?
Yeah. So supposedly the parents, Sundberg's parents, were outside when she came and shouted at them. They said that they empathized with their neighbour. I mean, fat lot of good that's going to do, sadly. I wish I could wrap my arms around her and tell her I'm so sorry, Cindy Sundberg said. I'm so sorry that she had to experience that. I'm so sorry for her pain. Tekel was an imperfect human, as we all are imperfect humans, and he did not deserve to be picked off like an animal from a rooftop, his mother said.
But
great consolation right there for the woman your son almost killed.
Yeah. All people have imperfections. They don't go around shooting indiscriminately.
No. I think that's less of an imperfection, more of just a complete defect. And we've got footage of that. If we want to go to the clip, we can hear Arabella expressing her frustration with these morons.
Give me my idols because you guys are celebrating his life.
It was a terror. I'm sure it was a terror.
Not okay.
It was so condescending to her.
Okay. Shut up. Grief in silence! This is not okay! This is not a George Floyd situation! George Floyd was unarmed! He was unarmed!
You're alive!
This is not okay!
Oh, dick!
My kids have to deal with this.
Tell they really care about their fellow humans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they almost lost their life! There's bullet holes in my kitchen!
Not in
because
you,
he sat in the f***ing hallway watching my move! I wish it never happened either. That I don't have a place to call home. I can't sleep that night.
She's obviously going through a moment.
This is not okay.
You're obviously going for a moment, he said to her.
This is not okay. Just go home. Go home. Because none of you guys knocked on that man's door to check his health.
Shut up. He comes to my house.
Shut up.
You're fucking alive.
Guy looking at his shoes.
Hopefully you're ashamed.
That's only a person ashamed
for doing it.
Honestly, quite a disgusting display from those protesters there. I mean, we shouldn't really expect any different from protesters and demonstrators at this point. But the level of condescension right there. I hope everybody who attended that demonstration and argued against the woman who almost died feels ashamed and disgusted in themselves. Because honestly, you can tell the intentions of all of those people just condescendingly arguing against her. Oh, you're alive, though. He almost shot me. Ah, but he didn't.
Well, they've already made up their mind, haven't they? They're not willing to entertain opposing ideas that maybe the guy deserved it.
Perhaps, especially if he almost killed them. But that doesn't enter their mind. And of course, we've had the conservative responses to a lot of this, like Drew Hernandez, who was a big, he was one of the people who testified on behalf of Kyle Rittenhouse during the trial at the end of last year, saying that her black kids' lives matter, don't matter to the woke mob. Black lives matter, don't give a damn about black on black crime. This is just yet another example of that. We've had some jokes from it where somebody was pointing out in the next one, protests erupted after the police shooting of Sundberg, a black man, after he fired mostly peaceful bullets into an apartment filled with children. And there was an interesting thing here as well, which was there was a GoFundMe for Tekel's funeral. And for a while, before this had got as much media attention and coverage as it has now, as if we can see from the images here, he was actually, his GoFundMe was actually in a better position than the one for Arabella was.
What?
Scroll along to the last image there for us, John. So you can see here, hers, $2,200, help a single mother and gun violence survivor. Pretty reasonable thing to want to raise money for. $15,000 were raised on behalf of Honoring Tekel, and covering his funeral expenses. I can understand wanting to help the family be able to cover the funeral expenses. That's one thing. But honouring him from some woman, Leah Marie Adair, presumably no relation to the family, presumably probably just some kind of demonstrator, protester, activist who wants to make sure that everybody knows that she's a good person raising all this money. But there is some good news that's come out of this. There is some justice. If we go to the next link, this is what the GoFundMe raising money for the mother looks like now. She's got almost $60,000 raised, well over the $10,000 goal. And this is all because of the outpouring of support that's come from people who actually looked into what happened and saw that this was not a situation in which it was just an unarmed black man being needlessly gunned down by the police. This was a situation where the man was putting people's lives in danger, and this woman deserves help from the community. So
that's probably enough for her to move out of that apartment and hopefully to live somewhere a bit safer.
I can only hope so. So to everybody who's actually put that money forward, thank you, because you are actually helping somebody who probably needs it right now. And you're helping to put her kids in a better situation than they would be otherwise. So there we go.
That's got a nice wholesome end there. Yeah, I didn't expect that. So what I wanted to talk about today is that the media in Britain has been scaremongering about a heat wave that we are now in the midst of in Britain. If you can't tell already from the fact that I'm not wearing a jacket, and I'm basically half wearing this shirt.
And I'm actually sweating as well right now.
It's quite uncomfortable.
We've got lights around here, and the lights always make you sweat a bit more than you expect. Mm-hmm.
But yes, obviously it's a rarity that the sun comes out at all here. So yes, it's been nice. However, this rare occasion has been met with a whole host of disproportionately insane reactions. And I'm not going to give you like a weather forecast, but let's just have a look at this BBC article here. So, heatwave national emergency declared after UK's first red extreme heat warning, which makes it sound very scary.
Apparently, it sound pretty awesome, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, temperatures could hit 40 degrees Celsius, which is 104 Fahrenheit. Apparently, according to this article, the Met Office's highest warning covers an area including London, Manchester, York on Monday and Tuesday. Apparently, according to the BBC, it means there is a risk to life and daily routines will need to change.
And I wonder if they're suggesting that you're there about leaving up those routine changes just to the decisions of the individuals.
No, of course not.
What a shock!
So, where have we seen this before, where there's a risk to life about a certain external circumstance, and all of a sudden people have to change their habits? What was this?
I think
it was some kind of lockdown. What I actually think is that this alarmism that I'm about to show you is trying to pave the way for these climate lockdowns that we've been seeing more and more mentioned in the media positively as. And there've also been talks about how good the lockdowns were for the environment. And we'll be getting onto that as well.
Oh, yes. The amount of Mother Nature's healing messages I saw when lockdown first came on, that was nonsense. And we've got to remember as well that, I mean, Justin Trudeau, for instance, explicitly said that they were going to apply the lessons that they've learned from lockdown and the COVID crisis to the climate crisis. I think he said the gender crisis as well, or the feminist crisis. I mean, the woman crisis, I could understand at
Those
least.
Those last two sound a bit based.
Yeah, I know.
We need to do something about this feminist crisis.
But we need to do something about the women. He's been taking advice from Bernie Sanders.
So yeah, if we have a look at the Met Office, this is for us at the minute, it's about 35 degrees, which this is Celsius, by the way. It's hot. It's not that hot. I've been in hotter before.
As have I. Whenever you go over to Europe for the summer, for instance, there's a way worse that they experience.
I've been
there
in southern Spain where it's been 48 degrees.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah, you couldn't spend too long out in that. But this, I mean, they deal with this on the continent all the time. And it's not.
And also, generally speaking, I would say that it's less the temperature itself and more the humidity that affects me.
I think the people who are most at risk are going to be older people and young children, in which case, you know, be sensible, use your common sense.
If they're children, they've got their parents' authority that should be protecting them. And if they're older, they should just kind of know better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But yes, despite all of the alarmism in the media, the government's own advice was take it easy and enjoy the beach. So Cabinet Minister Kit Malthouse advised people to stay hydrated, which is a bit of a meme, and take it easy and wish those lucky enough to have the day off to enjoy the beach, which is perfectly sensible advice. Yes, and that is the last you're going to see of sensible advice in this segment.
I was
going to
say, just the idea that someone from the government said something sensible in the first place is a shock. I mean, I wish I was on the beach right now.
This is how low the standards have got, that someone's saying, when it's hot, drink lots of water and be sensible. Well, it's now like a surprise.
Wow, get him in the PM office.
So yeah, just to draw attention to the kind of things the media were saying, here's an extreme example. Luton Airport runway melts and cars burst into flames.
Is there footage of this? Because that sounds pretty cool.
No, there wasn't, unfortunately. But it sounds like we've lowered Britain and the British Isles into the seventh circle of hell, and everything's just melting at the minute.
I do like the idea of a plane just trying to take off from Luton and just sinking into the runway, never to be seen again.
To be fair, people are desperate to get out of Luton. I mean, you know what it's like. Taken over.
Would
by
you rather take
Islamic
a concrete
types.
Bath or stay yes. in Luton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Concrete bath. So yes, because of this extreme heat, for some reason, a whole host of things have been cancelled or closed. So there were lots of train cancellations, for example, all across the country. Although to be fair, I did see a picture of some like rail lines catching on fire.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's probably some actual infrastructure reasons for something like this.
Mm-hmm. But yes, that's been closed down, causing a bit of chaos. But perhaps less understandably, hospitals cancel surgeries due to significant heatwave pressures. I feel like the people who were needing surgeries would probably be in more need of that than...
Can the NHS, with its enormous budget, not afford aircon?
I don't know. Just I think the rationale they gave is that people are going to have to travel there, but then people have to do lots of other stuff that involves travelling, like getting food, going to work, these sorts of things. It's a little
That's
bit
just,
of a stretch.
I don't even know how to logically rebut that. It's such a nonsensical argument.
I mean, what they could do as well is quite often, if it's older and vulnerable people, they send an ambulance over to pick them up.
Yeah.
Which I would presume, if it's an ambulance, is going to be air-conditioned.
And there's also the fact that if you're either being told to stay... If you're in need of surgery, the likelihood is your only other option is to stay at home. Mm-hmm. And English homes, quite notoriously...
None of them have aircon.
Yeah, are not fitted for aircon, because otherwise we'd only use it for 2 weeks of the year. So it's basically pointless for us until it gets to these
Haven't
weeks.
Haven't we seen how pasty most of us are? I mean,
there's
we never see
that.
The
we
sun.
We take pride in it.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, the Celts do.
Hey, that's still me. But anyway. Also, schools are cancelling sports days because of the high temperatures. I mean... Sure, you don't want to be running track and field, but, you know, is it really necessary? I mean, they still do sports in lots of other foreign countries.
Well, this is especially rich to me because they refuse to make the kids do sports in this kind of weather. But I remember back when I was in high school.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, right? One of the first sports I did in high school was rugby. In the middle of November, when it was one of the worst Novembers we'd had in years, absolutely freezing cold, pouring with rain, everybody was covered in mud, everybody was freezing. I'm surprised none of us got hypothermia, but now it's a bit too warm, all best pull away.
Mm-hmm. And
we've lost our stiff upper lip.
It's not just school sports days, it's schools in general. Apparently, lots of schools have continued to announce closures. I'm sure the kids are delighted, but I don't think it's very good for them considering how much education they missed.
Well, the parents probably aren't
in the lockdowns.
Too thrilled about it.
That's true. Yes. Also, for some reason, there are cases of recycling centres closing. Apparently, Chester Zoo has closed over extreme heat as well. And I find it amusing here that they've got a picture of an elephant as the thumbnail, as if, like, God
Elephants
forbid.
Aren't used to warm weather.
Elephants can't deal with this British weather. My goodness. In
they're
Africa
having to
and Asia, weather
thing down. Look at it.
It's loving it though. I mean, they've all got water in that. They're all looked after.
Yeah,
they?
Of course.
So yes, as you alluded to earlier, I think it's worth mentioning my magnum opus, my very long article titled "What Happened to Britain's Stiff Upper Lip," where
I
go through.
You'd refer to this one.
I go through all the historic examples, the best ones I could find throughout history, and just detail this this stoic attitude of going ahead despite adversity. This is what made Britain great. This is what made us rule a quarter of all landmass on Earth. This is exactly what we need. And we're like, oh no, a bit of heat. Oh, how terrible. I mean, depending on who you are. I mean, if you're old, stay out of the heat. Fair enough. If you're our sort of age, we don't really need to worry about it. It's good for you. Get a bit of sunlight. Climb out of the basement.
If anything, we should be grateful for it because of how notoriously grey and miserable it can be for the rest of the year.
I know.
I mean, realistically, I forget what it is. Is it the transatlantic winds give us our climate, the unique climate we have on Britain?
I don't know, I to be honest.
It might be the Pacific winds or something, but realistically, like, if it weren't for extra effects...
It'd probably be the Atlantic. The Pacific is, like, the other side of America.
Yeah, of course. But England and Scotland and Wales and Ireland should all have far worse climates, far colder climates than we actually do, but because of the unique geographical position we're in, is what can lead us to getting warm weather like this in the summer. So we should actually be pretty grateful for the fact that it's not just miserable and cold even more often than it is.
I just want to bask in the sun all the time because it's such a rarity. It's lovely. But yes, moving on to the actual agenda, why is this all important? I'm not just going to whinge at you about it being hot and people being stupid. There's a political purpose to me talking about this. And that is what I see as an agenda gently being pushed. And here we can see...
This doesn't look gentle to me.
Yeah, the difference in weather forecasts. Here you can see when it was a similar sort of temperature in the past, it was nice sunshine. It looks lovely. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
sunshine everywhere, nice warm, soft colours. And then you go to the right-hand side, it's like, yes, death. Even though it's actually colder there.
A little bit cooler there. Yeah. And that's the thing that I find shocking about this is that I see lots of people saying, oh, it could be the warmest ever recorded on record, ever recorded in England. But the thing is, I remember summers back when I was a kid that were warmer than this is right now, or at least less bearable than it is right now. And that just, people don't seem to have a memory anymore that stretches beyond maybe 5 years at the most.
I think it's more so that people are more willing to believe what other people are saying, like the general consensus in society or how they perceive it, than their own like perceptions.
This is actually one way, I would say, in which lived experience is a very useful metric to go by.
Well, it's not useless.
Exactly.
It's very helpful in some
just
cases.
Just going purely by the science and what the experts tell you leads to stuff like this, where on the right, everybody looks at that and goes, ooh, that looks bad, even though their own sensory perception is telling them, actually, I can go outside, I can still see people, and it's not too bad.
This next one, I've included especially to annoy you, because we are paying council tax to these people. We're paying them money here in our local council, and they've declared a climate emergency.
A local council,
I mean, of a town. Just like, yes, we need to deal with this global climate crisis. Apparently that they've joined 300 other local authorities in the UK in doing so, apparently acknowledging that it needs to act on the causes and impacts of climate change.
Listen, Swindon Council, I know you're watching this. I know you're aware of us. I know what you say about us behind the scenes. I don't need your help protecting myself from the sun. I can do that pretty confidently myself. I don't need you babying me or babying anybody else I know.
And I thought I'd include this next one because it was just amusing to me. The Jeremy Clarkson has managed to weigh in. He wrote on Twitter, "It's very hot in the south of France, but so far, as I know, there's no DEFCON 8 level 3 killer death heatwave warning in place. But actually, 16,000 people have been evacuated from the south coast because there are threats of wildfires." So,
Okay.
Jeremy, but I agree with your sentiment.
But the thing there is that it's not necessarily people going to die purely because of the heat that they've been evacuated for. It's people being evacuated because of the threat of wildfires, which is a different threat to life, shockingly enough. So, actually, he is still technically right, which is kind of right.
But yes. These climate lockdowns aren't necessarily theoretical. We caught the first whiff of it in France in this next article. So it's titled, "France bans outdoor events as part of the country hit with 40 degrees Celsius, as record-breaking heatwave sweeps Europe with a number of hospitals at capacity and school children in red alert areas told to stay at home."
40 degrees C, I've been in 40 degrees C in Spain. Mm-hmm. A few years ago in Girona when I was there with my family, it was 40 degrees. And it was, to be honest, quite miserable. But people were just going about their day-to-day lives.
I've spent the day at the beach in Spain in 40 degree heat. And I did fall asleep on a sun lounger with my hand like that, on my chest. And for about a year and a half afterwards, I had a hand-shaped mark on my chest. So I never wanted to take off my T-shirt. But yeah, I enjoyed that heat. It's not going to kill you, funnily enough, unless you're, you know, vulnerable or old or, you know,
be sensible. In which case, you should know how to look after yourself.
Yeah, have some common sense. It's that easy. You don't need the government to do it for you. But yes, apparently France has banned outdoor events, while Spain also was containing forest fires. So there are higher temperatures, I think, 44 Celsius in Montpellier and 46 in Bilbao in Spain. So it's hotter than here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty warm.
Mm-hmm. So yes, also Bordeaux in particular banned outdoor events in the heat wave, if you need a specific example. But it's also happening, or it seems to be happening, in Canada, which is a bit strange. But yes, so there was a Conservative candidate who was talking about concerns over climate lockdowns, and they were told to take down the video off of their YouTube account. Otherwise, they could be kicked from the party.
Really?
So that's a pretty extreme reaction to just mentioning something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes you kind of suspicious, doesn't it? It's almost like they're overcompensating for something that they're very sensitive about.
Could there be an agenda here?
Well, I think there may well be. If we move on to this next article from Euronews.green, of all places, climate lockdown conspiracies threaten the COP climate summit. And they're trying to frame it as a conspiracy theory. However,
what's actually happened is we've just figured them out ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. However, like outlets like The Hill, if we move to this next one, coming soon, climate lockdowns. I mean, perfectly establishment outlet. They're talking about it, entertaining the idea that it might happen. So, I mean, is it a conspiracy theory if mainstream press are talking about
it? To quote JonTron, they just keep going on TV and talking about it.
It's so dumb. But yes, there is also a climate lockdown website, which is advocating for climate lockdowns, funnily enough.
Oh, this is them saying we need to do this.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So yes, it's not just a conspiracy theory. If there are actual people out there making websites, advocating for it, the mainstream media is talking about
it. This is just a psyop by the anti-climate lockdown people create a climate lockdown movement, so that then when we lock down because of the climate, so they've got something to protest in opposition to the climate lockdowns that they start. This makes perfect sense, don't question.
It wasn't like Greenpeace and Extinction Rebellion and all those environmental groups were hailing the lockdowns as being great for the environment, and you saw all of those memes like nature is healing.
Now this was those were all right-wing pro-Trump psyops.
My favorite one was when there were loads of goats in a skate park in Wales and someone put nature is healing.
Wait, was that? I didn't see that.
Loads of goats took over a skate park.
The goats returning to their natural habitat.
The skate park, yeah. But yes, moving on, the head of Independent Sage, which were the group of scientists involved in the lockdowns in the UK, headed by a communist, yeah.
No, the group of communists, yes.
You can't just blanketly call them all communists.
Hey, we've already mentioned Clarkson, and he did, so if Jeremy Clarkson could get away with it, so can I.
But yeah, the head of Independent Sage has now moved on to launching an international climate change group. So there is some cross-pollination here between environmentalism on the one side and people who were the architects of lockdowns on the other. I mean, this is not incriminating at all. And another one of the senior members of SAGE, Sir Patrick Vallance, if we have a look at this one from the Daily Mail, it says, Sir Patrick Vallance warns MPs that the world is about to be plunged into an even deeper crisis than it was during the COVID pandemic because of climate change. I mean, another member of SAGE, the people who orchestrated the lockdowns. How is this not concerning? I mean,
I think we just need to have a complete and total ban of communists from any position of power ever,
yes,
anywhere in the world.
McCarthy didn't go far enough.
Absolutely.
He only
he
killed
not.
Them.
I'm only against repressive tolerance when it's coming from the left.
Absolutely. So, yes, we've got an article here to wrap up from our own Connor Tomlinson, who's recently joined, where he breaks down people advocating the totalitarian elites want to extend COVID-19 lockdowns forever for climate change. And I'm just going to read some of the extracts from this, though I encourage you to read the full article. So he says, COVID-19 lockdowns produce 2.4 billion ton, a 7% decrease in CO2 emissions in 2020. This has informed a belief that lockdowns are a viable method of cutting carbon emissions by 2050. World Economic Forum, European Commission, and UN advisor Mariana Mazzucato, I think.
Mazzucato?
Mazzucato, that's much more Italian sounding, yeah.
Mazzucato.
There we go.
There you go. You've got to get the hand gestures in there.
Has therefore hypothesized lockdowns may be enforced again to prevent climate change. Measures such as banning private transport, a moratorium on meat consumption, and ending fossil fuel production will be mandated by governments worldwide. I mean, if only we were seeing movements like this going on already. I mean, it's not like things like this are already happening, like the cost of driving your own car is becoming ridiculously expensive.
And of course, the ability to buy fuel cars powered by petrol and diesel will just be removed from you. The option to be able to do that will be removed as of 2030. You'll only be able to get electric cars. And aren't they efficient and fantastic vehicles?
Yeah, the lithium that is mined by children in Africa, I mean, it's not rare whatsoever. I mean, it's a perfectly sustainable model.
Our government is very eager at stimulating the economy. Are we not just stimulating the African economy?
You're making that argument, are you?
Hey, man, I'm just using evil, deranged globalist rhetoric and logic, taking it to its logical extremes.
Yeah, but they're getting paid, these kids, and I feel like the evil globalists, they wouldn't stand for that.
Well, no, that's how you can say it's stimulating the economy, because then those children can go and buy sweets. I don't know.
Is that what they're doing in Africa? Is it they're all just spending too much money on sweets? That's why they can't
that's
can't
why they
feed
can't build
themselves.
Proper infrastructure, yeah. They get too many Harry
Potter. Oh, dear. So it continues. The World Economic Forum has since published other articles like Mazzucato's suggesting lockdowns are crucial dress rehearsal for addressing climate change by reducing consumerism and providing homeostasis for low emission living. Other voices, promoting this policy in the political sphere are Germany's Social Democratic Party, Member of Parliament Karl Lauterbach, offered an op-ed, urging environmental policies analogous to the restrictions on personal freedom imposed to combat the pandemic. The UK's Green Party praised lockdowns for providing a vision of how a different world might be possible.
Ooh, that's
scary, isn't it?
Yeah, that's scary to hear, yeah.
Yeah, this is our vision for the future. Everyone's locked in their homes perpetually. Isn't it great? We're going to enjoy nature.
Well, it's great for the cabal of elites who are allowed to go outside whenever and wherever they want. After all, we need to give up our cars. We need to give up our vehicles. We need to give up all fossil
but
fuels.
They won't.
But Joe Biden can go around in a motorcade of up to 50 cars around the UK with no problem. They can jet from one part of the world to another in their private jets. No problem, because it only really... It contributes to climate, to CO2 emissions when we do it, apparently.
And the close, the final paragraph I'm going to read here is, when debating the role of market in environmentalism at Durham Union, Extinction Rebellion co-founder Claire Farrell pushed for replicating COVID-19 lockdowns to instigate revolutionary economic redistribution and reduce Britain's carbon emissions. So, yes.
Just admitting that this is about wealth redistribution as well. Interesting.
Yes. So, yes, obviously, the lockdowns, the COVID-related ones, they crossed this threshold of authoritarianism, which once crossed is going to be a lot easier to cross again, unfortunately. And there's no closing Pandora's box for this authoritarianism. It seems to me that this growing media fervor about some warmth is just kind of pushing this agenda down people's throats, just like, oh, it's terrible, you can't go outside, oh... It's going to be so hot. You're going to die. I mean, really, just use a bit of common sense. Don't listen to the media. Have a nice time. Go out in the sun. Have a couple of beers. Make the most of it. It's one of the few sunny days you're going to have in Britain.
All right. Before we go on to the next one, can you just pass me the water?
Sure.
I need more.
There we go. I'm going to drink it straight out of the what's it called? The filter.
No.
This is not an Alex Jones approved water filter, unfortunately.
Still getting the fluoride in me, are you?
I'll pop it down there.
Oh, cheers. pride ourselves
just
on
after
being.
We were complaining about everyone overreacting to the heat, we have to have a little water break in the middle.
Well, I'm just thirsty. I don't know why you, but I'm just thirsty. Anyway, so many of you know that right now we're going through a leadership race for the position of new PM, of a new head of the Conservative Party, who will become the PM around September time once all the voting is done. And there are a lot of different factors that we're taking into account when we've been covering this. I've not really been keeping up as much as some of the others have, but obviously Callum and Carl seem very eager about Kemi Badenoch, who does seem to be one of the only ones who's actually saying the right things when it comes to cultural issues. And cultural issues are very important. We need to get a handle on immigration. We need to get a handle on what's being taught to our kids in school. We need to start to try and recoalesce around a British identity where we're able to, you know, be proud of our history instead of just being told that we need to feel terribly, terribly ashamed of it constantly.
Well, there's a lot to be proud of as well. Like,
absolutely there is.
If there's any country that has a claim to being a good moral force in the world, it's probably Britain. We did kind of end slavery, didn't we?
Yes, we've done.
We've got no guilt for that.
I will say that we, like every other country, have some missteps in our history. But like you say, we have also an overwhelming amount of positives that we've introduced into the world in the first place. And if you're one of those people from America who thinks America is the best country in the world, you're welcome, because it was established by English people. so there you go right there. But one of the other most important things to talk about when it comes to who's going to be in charge of the country as of September is the economics of this. And we're going to take a look at what some of the things that Rishi Sunak in particular, because sadly, he does seem to be the front runner for the race right now, as much as that really deeply saddens me to say, the little manlet himself might
Rishi,
be in
the
charge.
Money printer.
Yes, money printer go Burr Sunak. Might be in charge of the country, and it's important to take a look at what he's saying and what his plans are for the economy and what the other people are talking about as well, just in case there is the chance. So before we go any further, I'll just draw your attention to a premium podcast that Josh and I did last month called The Left Does Not Understand Economics. And given that the Tory party are basically leftists at this point, this applies just as much to them as everybody else. And as we go through this, I've also got some excerpts that I want to read from Henry Hazlitt's fantastic book, Economics in One Lesson, which if you've not read, you should. It's very, very short and a really good introduction to a lot of the concepts that we talk about in stuff like this. So I will be reading that, and hopefully it might inspire you to go off and read that. It doesn't hurt either that Hazlitt is one of the few economics writers who can actually write. So it's one of the few books that you can read on economics that you won't want to die. As you're
they're not that bad.
No, some of them are much better than others. Rothbard actually is able to write as well, but some, I love Mises, but my god, the man was not a particularly stirring writer. Same with people like Bomberwerk and such. But anyway, let's go on to it. So the latest update as of today, by the time this goes out onto YouTube tomorrow, things will have changed because we've got another round of voting going on today, is that there has been an update in who's in the front running. Tom Tugendhat, who before this was a man I'd never heard of in my entire life, because apparently he was just a senior backbencher.
It does sound like a sort of unusual name that you'd use as like a pseudonym as a spy.
He does sound fake. He does sound made up. And honestly, having seen some of the debates that he was involved with, I've already forgotten what he looks like. So he might just be some kind of mass hallucination that we're all still reporting on somehow. There might be some insanity. There's some shenanigans going on here. But the current runners for the race that will be narrowed down by Thursday to just two people who will then have to go through a summer of campaigning before the last vote, and then we'll find out who it is on the 5th of September. So the four right now are Rishi Sunak, who's in the lead, Penny Mordaunt, who is, I think, in the runner-up in votes right now, then Liz Truss, and then Kemi Badenoch. And Kemi Badenoch, obviously, is the person that Carl and Callum seem most enthusiastic about. From what I've seen of her, she seems certainly better than the other ones.
Well, she served as a qualities minister under Boris, didn't she? And then would give loads of excoriating speeches, just like, yes, critical race theory is evil and racist. We need to eliminate it. And under her watch, I think all of the diversity training got banned from being taught in government, even though the civil service then did it anyway.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, she did, although I think one of the things, I still don't really trust her that much, the same way that I don't think anybody should trust any politicians ever. They are people whose entire job is about putting their hand in your pocket, taking all of your money, and then forcing you to do stuff under threat of, well, you agreed to this, didn't you? Even though I don't remember signing a contract for any of this. But she has still done things like, I think she approved gender self-ID a few months ago. So there are things that aren't perfect about her.
She's certainly on it with the woke stuff, I think, is why a lot of people are
on
drawn to her.
On some of the woke stuff, yes. And she certainly makes the right noises when she makes the speeches. So of the best, she is the best of a bad bunch.
What's her tax policy? That's what I want to know.
That would be interesting. I think most of the front runners are looking to cut taxes, as far as I can tell from the debates that I've seen. Except Rishi is not particularly enthusiastic about cutting taxes. In fact, let's go to here. He says that we need to focus on inflation before tax cuts after attacking the leadership rival's fairy tale plans. Now, what he's saying is that we need to we can't cut taxes right now, because if we cut the taxes, then people will have more money to spend on stuff. Therefore, it will create more inflation and the problem will just arise again, which I'll explain why that is not exactly the case as we go on. But he says he's insisted that inflation must be brought under control before the government can consider cutting taxes. This is the inflation, of course, that Rishi himself had a massive role in creating in the first place, given that he printed unprecedented amounts of money, just like happened in America, and also gave many, many businesses bailouts to avoid them from closing down because of the lockdowns that his party helped start in the first place. So a lot of this, as you might be able to tell, seems rather circular. Hence why you should never trust any government trying to interfere in the economy in the first place. Neoliberal economics is a disaster and creates a worse world for literally everybody. Anyway, so in the first TV leadership debate on Friday, he attacked calls by his rivals for immediate tax cuts paid for by increased borrowing as a fairy tale. And to be fair, you know, I don't think we should be cutting taxes and then increasing borrowing so that we can continue our massive amounts of spending. I think we should be cutting taxes and cutting spending. There is plenty of fat all across the government institution, and especially the welfare and NHS institutions, that really could do with reducing, so that, you know, it might save us all a bit of money.
They're spoilt for choice for places to cut, because the state also grew a lot larger throughout the lockdowns as well, didn't they? Because they were trying to do a lot more, and therefore they were spending more money, creating more departments, expanding things. And I hate it. It's so insufferable to have to pay for stuff that makes your life objectively worse.
And that you never asked for. And if you don't pay for it, you get to go to prison for the benefit of it. Hence why I consider personally taxation to be theft.
Absolutely. Hear, hear.
But he also said, I think the number one economic priority we face as a country is inflation. No thanks to you, Sunak. I want to get a grip of inflation because it's what makes everybody poorer. Except for you, of course. Isn't he married to a billionaire?
Yep.
That's great, getting economic advice from somebody who never has to face the consequences of his own terrible economic decision. Why was this man put in charge of our money? I swear to God. Anyway, if we don't get a grip of it now, it will last longer, and that is not a good thing. Once we've done that, I will deliver tax cuts. Anyway, and then we've also got, around the same time, because the mainstream media always likes to gather around one particular candidate that they imagine would probably be the best for them, we've had quite a lot of articles from newspapers, BBC News, Independent, The Guardian, all saying that cutting taxes would actually be really bad for everybody. If you were allowed to keep more of your own money, or hell, I know this would be unthinkable, but we're allowed to keep all of the money you earn yourself without having to have it stolen from you by the government, this would actually be terrible. This would be really bad for everybody, because inflation would go up, because nobody is able to control themselves when they have money. Nobody's able to save money. They would just immediately go and spend it on Rolex and Lamborghinis, and that would just cause more inflation. And you've got this article from the IMF, the International Monetary Foundation, I think it is, saying that actually, if we cut taxes now, it would be a mistake, because of course, who is it that benefits the most from rampant inflation? Is it the little guy at the bottom? No, it is these sorts of people, the sorts of people who are shielded by their institutions, the sorts of people who are deep in bed with politicians, who are going to know when the inflation is going to hit so they can invest accordingly, because never trust these people with anything. Never trust them with anything. But anyway, They say in here, tax cuts are being promised by several of the party leadership hopefuls, but a top official at the International Monetary Fund has warned it would be better to raise them instead. So not only would it be bad to cut taxes, you need to have your taxes raised. See, the public is just too irresponsible with their own money. They might buy things that they actually want or spend it on things that they need, like food. And if we don't allow them to just starve and die out, especially in the extreme heat, then how are we going to get the population reduction that we want so that we're able to protect the environment?
It's so dumb because tax cuts could be justified not even just on the basis of it's going to make people more monetarily wealthy. Also, if they have more surplus wealth, then they're more likely to invest it in places, creating growth. And it's also more likely to be spent on riskier ventures that might actually make the economy more efficient. And therefore, there could be a snowball effect of rapid growth, which would be nice after locking down the country for 2 years.
It would be nice, but the government only likes to consider economic growth that they themselves are directly responsible for, because us plebs on the ground aren't to be trusted with our own money. Mark Flanagan, the head of this organisation, says, I think debt finance tax cuts at this point would be a mistake. While the former Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, has argued against cutting taxes, other candidates have touted promises including cuts to the basic rate of income tax and further cuts on fuel duty, because, of course, one of the other things that is really hitting people in the wallet right now is the massive amounts of tax put on fuel, the massive amount of added tax put onto things like your electricity bill. I think for electricity bills, it's like a 25% extra tax purely for, environmental and governance responsibility or something like that. I forget the exact name for it. But it's absolutely ridiculous how they try and hit us in the wallet every single time, tell us it's for our own good, and then try and fix the problems that they cause by just doing more of the same. It's absolutely ridiculous that anybody would trust these people with anything. If they weren't in the public sector, if they weren't able to use their charisma to be able to basically trick people into getting them into positions of power, these people would be destitute and on the street, and rightfully so, as far as I'm concerned. These people are leeches and parasites to society that, if possible, should be removed from society, as far as I'm concerned. To say any more might get us taken off of YouTube, so I'll be careful. But anyway, tax breaks could offer some relief for households struggling to cope with the steepest increase in food and energy bills in decades. The IMF is among the groups predicting the UK could see the slowest growth and most painful inflation of any G7 nation in 2023, thanks in part to reliance on fossil fuels, a big driver of inflation. Once again, there you go, right there. We, as the plebs, are far too involved, far too reliant on these fossil fuels to, you know, get us from A to B, to be able to drive ourselves to maybe holiday destinations, maybe even just get us to our jobs, which is why we've been naughty.
Did you say reliance on fossil fuels caused inflation?
That's what they are suggesting.
That's written down in this article.
That is what they are suggesting, yes.
Not printing all of the money. No, it's reliance on fossil fuels, obviously.
Not bailing out multiple organisations again and again and again.
Well, I must have missed that bit. Like when I was looking at inflation and causes of, fossil fuels. I was reading all of those economic books.
Well, I guess we've just not been reading the right ones. We've been reading the ones that actually tell you something about the world rather than just tell you what the author wants you to think.
That's just such a naked political agenda being pushed there.
It really is. However, Mr. Flanagan said tax cuts could be misguided and might even boost inflation by strengthening spending. Money raised through tax, he argued, could instead be used to invest in the country's long-term future. Because once again, you and I cannot be entrusted with our own money to invest in what we think would be useful for us or a good venture for other people. No, it has to be the government spending your money. And once again, I said I was going to refer here to Henry Hazlitt. I've got a nice quote here. Under such circumstances, it is highly improbable that the projects thought up by bureaucrats will provide the same net addition to wealth and welfare per dollar expended as would have been provided by the taxpayers themselves if they had been individually permitted to buy or have made what they themselves wanted instead of being forced to surrender part of their earnings to the state. Puts it nice and succinctly. And let's just remind ourselves that Sunak himself has been the driver of a lot of this inflation. He has been at the helm of the UK economy, being the Chancellor. Chancellor Exchequer, I think, is the official title for it. During lockdowns, something that the Tory government put in, which were basically an unknown quantity what they would do to the economy. I mean, we all knew what they would do to the economy would destroy it, but they were an unknown quantity as to whether they would actually help with COVID. They would actually help the numbers. And as far as I can tell, I think we can say this on YouTube, seeing as that people are actually reporting on this now, the studies that are coming in show that they basically had no effect, no positive net effect on rates of death, rates of infection, anything like that. So it just destroyed our economy for no reason. Well, unless you're thinking about any particular globalist agendas that might be furthered by consolidating power in a few lofty positions in government. Very interesting. But here we go. UK economy warning. This is from March of last year. Inflation could rise sharply, threatening Sunak's recovery plan. He was at the front during that. And let's also remind ourselves of the next one. This was from last year as well, where Sunak in the Omicron, as the Omicron breakout was about to happen, was also talking about bailing out lots of companies, and he absolutely did. He has consistently done this. He has printed money to support businesses that the government put in peril in the first place with lockdowns.
The thing is, the Omicron variant wasn't even that bad. I had it, and it was not even as bad as like your regular cold. I was just like, is this really COVID? This is ridiculous.
No, it was ridiculous. But of course, we needed to lock down again, and therefore we needed to bail out some companies that would have gone out of business because of the lockdown. So therefore, we needed to do a £1 billion bailout for all of these companies.
Of course.
And where did all of that money come from, I wonder?
Our pockets, I imagine.
Yes. And once again, referring to Hazlitt, it's not a simple question, as so often supposed, of taking something out of the nation's right-hand pocket to put in its left-hand pocket. The government spenders tell you, for example, that if the national income is $1,500 billion, then federal taxes of $360 billion a year would mean that only 24% of national income is being transferred from private purposes to public purposes. This is to talk as if the country was some sort of was the same sort of unit of pooled resources as a huge corporation, and as if all that were involved were a mere bookkeeping transaction. The government spenders forget that they are taking the money from A in order to pay it to B. Or rather, they know this very well, but while they dilate upon all the benefits of the process to B and all the wonderful things he will have which he would not have had if the money had not been transferred to him, they forget the effects of the transactions on A. B is seen, A is forgotten. And you and I, the plebs, the lowly people on the ground having to struggle our ways through life, we're A. We're the ones who are being left behind and forgotten. And that we've even had people from former Tory leaders criticising his economic policy and calling him out on stuff like this, which is honestly shocking to see somebody who in politics who seems to understand this. It's a pleasant surprise. It is Sir Ian Duncan Smith, of all people, being able to point this out as saying that Sunak had a failure of monetary policy. We've got an inflationary spiral going on. Now we've got war in Ukraine. That's made it worse with regards to energy. But here in the UK, we do have to bear some of the blame for the fact that we have inflation rising on top of all that. And that's down purely to the Bank of England and the Treasury's failure over, I think, monetary policy. First of all, over a year ago, the bank actually kept printing huge sums of money, which has inflated the economy, as well as keeping interest rates low. It was the Treasury that signed off on that money printing, the Chancellor no less. So before they say, oh, it's independent, the Treasury has the right to say no to the money printing, and they didn't. And that's fueled inflation. And then Dominic Raab, who is backing Sunak, told Sky News on Sunday that people saying about cutting taxes is ridiculous. You can't borrow your way out of an inflation crisis. Once again, That's true, which is why we just need to at least slash, I would say, at least probably 50% of all government spending.
It's
probably completely useless and save us all a lot of money. And then we've got The Economist talking about many British Conservatives now prefer tax cuts to balance budgets. And this is obviously true because guess what? Being not a member of the UK government, I was not in charge of what they spent our tax money on or how much money they printed. I am, however, always affected when they raise taxes. So obviously, people on the ground are not going to care as much about balanced budgets when it's the money that they get from their paycheck that's then stolen away from them that affects them on a day-to-day basis. And then we've got more from the Times talking about unaffordable tax cut pledges. Once again, just trying to create another political reason why we can't be allowed to keep more of our own money. And because, of course, one of the other things to consider is that if we are allowed to have more of our own money, more autonomy, that's less control the state can exert over us. Something important to keep in mind there. Then we've got The Guardian saying that Tories' tax cuts are a boost for the wealthy and a drag for the rest of us, because apparently cutting the taxes on poor people doesn't help them. In any way, I'll read another one from Hazlitt here. The larger the percentage of the national income taken by taxes, the greater the deterrent to private. The larger the percentage of national income taken by taxes, the greater the deterrent to private again. When personal incomes are taxed at 50, 60 or 70%, people begin to ask themselves why they should work 6, 8 or 9 months of the year for the government and only 6, 4 or 3 months for themselves and their families. Once again, all of this just puts a massive downward pressure on people's individual productivity and encourages them to be spendthrifts. Go out and just spend the money, not save it, because what point is there? I found this article, The Disadvantages of Tax Cuts, from Sapling. Very interesting. They point out that if we don't, if we have tax cuts, we're not going to be able to have as much entitlement spending. We might have to cut of the welfare state.
Terrible.
We might have to cut back on infrastructure growth. We've already covered that the government is not necessarily the best people to judge.
Quite often they're the worst, actually.
Yeah, I would say 9.99 times out of 10, they are absolutely the worst. We might not be able to pay public servants because there's so many useful public servants out there, and we also may not be able to finance public debt. Once again, Hazlitt says, when your money is taken by a thief, you get nothing in return. When your money is taken through taxes to support needless bureaucrats, precisely the same situation exists. We are lucky indeed if the needless bureaucrats are mere easygoing loafers. They are more likely today to be energetic reformers busily discouraging and disrupting production. Translation, ruining your life in some way or another. The last thing I wanted to point out was that all of this worry about the tax cuts causing inflation is basically untrue in the first place. There's this guy, Andrew Lilico, who's been pointing out that tax cuts will not mean higher inflation. They will just mean higher interest rates, and that's actually a good thing for the economy. And Stephen Carson, otherwise known as Radical Liberation, who knows a lot more about economics than I do, has just pointed out that this is correct. And one of the things, obviously, higher interest rates may cause it so that people with debts that they need to repay might find it a little bit more difficult, but there are many benefits of higher interest rates. For instance, if you have less taxes, therefore you have more of your money and higher interest rates, then all of a sudden it becomes much, much, much more attractive to just save your money. Which, if you're putting your money in the bank and saving it so you're able to get better interest rates from it, that's not going into the economy and that's not creating inflation. So, but yes, at the end of the day, don't trust a Tory, don't trust any politician. They all just want to steal your money, and they're going to do that while telling you why it's actually a good thing that you don't get to spend any of your money. Do not trust any of these thieves under any circumstances. Let's move on to the video comments.
I'm going to be honest and disagree with some people on the Load Seaters. The boys was always and you have terrible standards for even liking the first episode. The creator of the original comics was the most autistic human being to have ever lived, and instead of having an obsession about trains, or in my case, martial arts, it was hating superheroes and Western culture and Western cultural ideas. And it really shows. And then, what's his name? The guy who makes Family Guy got a hold of it, and it got even worse. And for some reason, just because it has good acting, people are there like, oh, it's so amazing. No, it isn't.
Sorry, I was actually busy wiping sweat away while he mentioned the name of what he was talking about. Was he on about Star Trek?
The Boys.
Wait, no, the guy, Seth MacFarlane's not got a hold on The Boys, has he? I don't remember.
I don't even know what it is.
Harry, I think you might be referring to Seth Rogen there. I know they've both got the same first name. I've not watched I've not read the original comics. I like Garth Ennis's work. His work on Preacher's really good. The show was great for the first series. I know you've not watched it.
Nope.
The second series was terrible, and the third series, what I've seen, seemed to be an improvement, but still a little bit insufferable. So, yeah.
Hey everybody, Preston Poulter with Pocket Jacks Comics. Leave my first video comment. Harry, you gave a shout out to Youth Van Skyver, calling him a wonderful person or something. Listen, he's called me a child pornographer twice, and who am I really in the grand scheme of things? Ethan incidentally knows I'm not a child pornographer, and in his defense documents, he's saying, well, I didn't put actual in front of it, so it didn't really count.
Oh, fair play. Well, I wasn't aware that he'd done that to you. I don't know if I called him a wonderful person. If I did...
that doesn't sound like you, to be fair.
That doesn't sound like me.
I've never heard you describe anyone as wonderful before.
If I did, it might have been a slip of the tongue, because what I was probably referring to was the fact that he's a fantastic artist. on a personal level, I've seen some live streams with him. I saw the live stream he did with Razor Fist where they were talking about Michael Jackson, and he seemed okay, but yeah, sorry that he's called you out like that, man. That's obviously not fair on you, and if you're taking him to court, as it sounds like you're doing, you know, good luck.
Yeah, I know I said I'd limit these to relevant questions, but I thought I'd just point out Australia has released all international travel restrictions for people coming to Australia and leaving Australia. So if you guys want to come to Oz and do some Lotus Eaters stuff here, I'm happy to help out.
Nice.
I've always wanted to go to Australia, although all of the animals there want to kill you, so I feel like that would be strange.
Well, no, it'd keep you on your toes.
Just like, have you seen the size of some of the house spiders they get over there? Like, I've seen the ones we get here.
Do you
are
not
bad
think
enough.
It would help you to hone your instincts in any way? Get you back in touch with the natural side of yourself.
Going to get on the flight there and put on a loincloth and hang out with the Aboriginals.
What were you planning? What else would we be doing?
That sounds all right, actually. That does sound like my perfect weekend away.
Yeah, it sounds pretty chill. It'd be interesting at the very least. I mean, my fiance has family over in Australia, so it'd be nice to actually be able to go there. And if the restrictions have been lifted, as you said, I would love just the opportunity to get out of the country for a little bit. It's been way too long since I've been able to go on holiday.
Story of Lambda by Lambda.
Once upon a time, they lived in the forest their wise old owl. They lived within many other animals, with their unique ways of living. One night, the animals were having problems with an unusual beast that was lurking in the woods. The beast was a monster that had a human skin and was trying to eat all the other animals. The other animals were terrified and ran away from the monster.
A creepy pasta all of a sudden. Yeah. Sorry, did someone lace my water with something? What have they put in
that
filter?
Great.
Yeah, that was cool.
I enjoyed that.
Gave Josh some flashbacks.
Hey, man.
Before I show you guys a bit of a white pill of my neighbor's cats, this one's Ginger, and this one here is Whitey.
The little thing.
That's just sweet. That's just really cute. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I do like a good cat, does me.
There's something really funny I noticed about Danish news is that whenever a white Danish person commits a crime, they're not saying it's a white person, they're saying an ethnic Dane. I kind of like that because it really shows that, yeah, we are the one with the ancestry here in Denmark that it's an ethnic Dane, an indigenous Dane. So maybe use that, you are an ethnic Englishman.
I feel like the connotation here would, you'd immediately be called a white supremacist, wouldn't you, if you describe yourself as ethnically English?
Well,
and in my case, it's not necessarily true because I'm half Scottish.
Yeah, well, I'm not too familiar with my ancestry, but I do feel like some Vikings might have raped some of my ancestors. So I don't know. I don't know if full Englishman might be accurate, but
I had the ancestry test and I was 1% Norwegian, which means I've got 1% rapist blood pumping through my veins right now.
Certainly seems more than that talking to you. But no, but yeah. No, like Ash Sarkar. Yeah, I think she tweeted out something saying, like, when you say English, just say white, okay? And we know that's what you mean. It's like, yeah, English people are white, like, ethnically speaking.
But if you go up to Scotland, they're even whiter.
This is impressive. This is the hierarchy of whiteness. Are you saying the Celts are superior to us?
Yes. Damn you, Anglo-Saxons.
The lack of melanin to denote superiority is what we're saying. Disavow.
An observation I had regarding the Richard Spencer and Adam Waffen types who ironically support the NATO forces against the Russian armies because they say that the Russians are utilizing mass formations of non-white Muslims and everything in their army. But I found that interesting because that means Russia is able to actually mobilize large formations of their own minority populations to fight in frontline wars on their behalf effectively. Something no Western European nation's ever been capable of since World War II. Why is that?
Well, I think we tried to recruit lots of Muslim Muslims into the army, which was part of the reason why they had that army advert where someone was praying to Mecca in the middle of like a wasteland. And I think there's about seven in the entirety of the armed forces.
Yeah, shockingly enough, Muslims aren't known for their love of Western liberal democracies, or at least not enough to go out and lay down their lives for them.
Yeah, I think that the situation in Russia is that I think it's the Chechens, aren't they, that are the Muslims. They're quite often up for a scrap. I know with Kadyrov in charge, they certainly are. So just any excuse to kind of plunder and loot as they can. Well, I don't know. I feel like in the West, we haven't really given people enough. They haven't been given enough of an incentive to fight for us, really.
No, of course not. I mean, you'll only fight so much for what is basically just like, what are they fighting for? Welfare benefits.
Yeah, it's...
You're not going to inspire, like, national patriotism on that.
Yeah, our ability to inspire patriotism in our immigrants has been pretty poor, basically, is the reason I'm trying to get at.
I mean, we can't even inspire patriotism in our native population.
Exactly.
We're trying to do the opposite, actively trying to make people hate their own countries. So, John, you're a beautiful exception.
This is what walnuts look like before they show up for sale. Those are tangerines.
Cool.
So a walnut looks like a berry almost, or like a fruit. I've learned something today.
Yep. The more you know.
The parade's over and Marduk performed pretty well. Now to leave her with the rest of the floats and go get some food. Local chalky milk and apple pie. Yum yum.
It just looks so wholesome.
It does.
And also your mech looked metal as hell there, so I appreciate
that. Glad
it
went well, yeah.
What are you doing, Ollie? Are you rolling? Oh!
And
then here comes the crazy dog.
Out. So now you got him all excited. He didn't come out without me.
Table that Dad made. And all of the freaking fence. They made out of pallets. And then he buried half the pool. And he made the thing that holds the TV. So we can watch TV in the pool. And he also made the thing that holds the miniature fridge underneath.
That's what we need right now.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I need a swimming pool as soon as possible.
I think, once again, I think we need to bully Carl into fitting a pool into the... into the office purely for on days like this.
The only time I would ever get out of it, I'd be so pruned that I'd look like I'd aged about 50 years
from the neck down. Also, that cat at the beginning was lovely. I kind of love and hate when they do that thing where they roll around, because the cats are offering you the poison pill, because they're going, oh, wouldn't you so like to give my belly a little rub, and then you do and they bite you. It's a
they
trap.
Lure you in.
Yes.
So if I'm going to Greece for a reenactment, I need this 3-foot diameter shield to get on a plane. And they don't make shield luggage cases in that size. So I've gone to the fabric store, got some supplies, and
I'm just going to make my own carrying case. I mean, I'll
still have
to pay an oversized luggage fee, but at least this will get it through the airport.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, it looks good, man.
You're making me feel very guilty that I don't have the ability to do stuff like that.
I don't think that would be too hard. Just getting a bit of fabric, sewing it all together. That looks like it'd be all right.
And this is an archetypal facial expression, and everyone knows exactly what it means. There's something sexually seductive about it. Very sexually seductive about it, despite the fact that it's a lioness. And the animators do an extraordinarily good job of capturing that.
Oh, no.
Please Jordan. Give me huggy wuggies.
Jordan Peterson furry confirmed. Oh, no. Who's been letting the furries in the audience? Why did you have to unearth that clip? I can't believe he said that. That's kind of, Now, what context was he saying that in?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the context which he said. He was going through the Lion
King. No, I guessed that. I was just wondering, why did he need to do that?
You're never going to be able to unhear it now, are you?
When, next time I watch the Lion King, I'm going to have Jordan Peterson in my ear. There's something undeniably sexual about it. Anyway, let's go on to the written comments on the website, eh? So the first two are an outpouring of support for me, which I really appreciate. Free Will says, I think the people who cancelled you are appalling. The social fascism has got to stop. Don't give up music. Keep playing as a musician. I'm aware that many in the music community who preach freedom don't practice what they preach. Well, sadly, that's basically been the punk movement for like 40 plus years. And metal certainly has been going that way as well. I mean, I think the greatest mistake that we made is, as much as they write some good and catchy music, that was allowing Rage Against the Machine a place in the community at all, sadly, because they're massive communists and I hate them on a personal level. Once again, they wrote some decent music, but they seem like naughty words.
I hate them, but they did write some decent music.
Well, you can say that about a lot of people.
Yeah, sadly. I like the Beatles and I hate John Lennon as a person.
Yeah.
But he wrote some good music.
But I will keep playing music, probably not in a band for a little while. I'm probably just going to focus on playing music for the love of it.
Well, we were going to have a jam at some point.
Yeah, we might have a jam, yeah, because Josh plays guitar as well, so blast out some heavy metal tunes might be a good release. Also, I might find that I might need to just buy myself a new guitar to be able to get over it, you know?
Just the any
deep,
excuse.
The deep sadness. Hey, man.
I know how you feel, but yeah, still.
There you go. And Colin Parker also says, sorry to hear that, Harry. I'm kind of hoping the management company gets the backlash it deserves. While in the interests of remaining professional, I will say don't do that. I wouldn't be too displeased if it did happen. I'll just say that. Anyway, let's move. Thanks again to everyone for showing such support. But let's move on to the Black Crimes Matter. Colin Parker again says, Black Lives Matter. No, once again, this proves that black bodies are what they are interested in.
Ugh.
I hate that term, but you're absolutely right. Oh, John's found the lecture. He's going to play it for us nicely. Yeah, it's 54 minutes, but if you're interested in hearing Jordan Peterson's thoughts on Carl Jung and the Lion King, if that's something that interests you, you can find it there. I know you're not much of a Jungian, are you?
No, I appreciate what he did more than Freud, but he isn't my sort of school of psychology.
What school of psychology is Jung in terms of what he's saying?
He's a psychoanalyst, so that was kind of set up by Sigmund Freud, and he was one of the students of Freud.
Oh, okay. Fair play. Free Will says, BLM are extreme activists. They only care about being politically correct and following their beliefs. Following their beliefs, I think, is giving them a little bit too much credit in the way you've worded it there. They don't really care about the fact that this woman was nearly murdered. They are pond life. I'll agree with that, though. Bald Eagle, 1787. Hey, Uvalde police, this is how you handle a gunman that's threatening children. MPD snipers deserve accolades for pulling off a high-risk and stressful shot. If snipers have to take a suspect out, then the situation has gone past the point of peaceful resolution.
That was something I was actually going to bring up, but I didn't have the opportunity to say it, is that if he was shot by a sniper, that means that they had been waiting for a long time to do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't get snipers set up in a high position.
I'm absolutely sure that once the cam footage comes out, you'll be able to see exactly why it is that they shot open fire. The only reason I'm sort of like erring on caution right now is because there is that tiny little seed of doubt that says, well, you know, it might not have been a completely justified shooting. But once again, I'm not shedding any tears over this guy. It's nice, but I think that Tekel fully intended in committing a murder-suicide after killing Yarborough and her children. If cops had phasers from Star Trek with a stun setting that worked 100% of the time, they'd use it. Absolutely they would, but we don't live in fantasy land, as we're all aware. Drew Doomhan says these protesters are in a cult. Absolutely. Andrew Narog, what hellhole Minneapolis has become. These protesters need to get charges against them, especially after these past few years. Well, yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are still yet to be charged for all that happened in 2020. So if only they tracked down those people with as much fervor as they did the January 6th guys, perhaps we wouldn't have as many problems with this. Itachi of Kanoa says, loud and raucous protesting outside the victim's apartment is beyond the pale. The intersectional mafia forced Arabella to mention the race of her children in order to make their lives matter. Neither her life nor those of her children were of any value to the mob before they said, my black babies were traumatized and almost died. That's a good point. It really does show you the relative value they put on human life. It's got onto yours.
Okay. So Alex Ogle says, a huge lockdown only led to a 7% reduction in CO2. How on earth do people reach that conclusion that further lockdowns will have any efficacy in the
quixotic fight? I think, maybe.
You're using words that are too complicated for me, Alex. fight against nature. No, that's a really good point. It didn't really occur to me at the time that actually the extent of the lockdowns, they were massive, and it's only a 7% reduction. Well, that kind of suggests that it's a really bad method. Adrian of the Fountain, maybe one day they will stop measuring weather right next to airport tarmacs. That would be nice.
That's a very strange metric, isn't it?
Lord Nerevar, I'm not a fan of the heat right now by any means, but this insane bedwetting over it is really getting on my nerves. It's like we're addicted to fear these days, always needing something to panic about after COVID. It's pathetic. Absolutely. Hammurabi, the sixth, are we getting surprised about this? The CNN guy straight up said they'd start hammering on the climate. Well, I'm not surprised, just disappointed. should we
go to... Carry on with some of yours.
Henry Ashman, the schools are closing, but the kids are straight back on Zoom Teams doing lessons. I suspect it's mostly worries about legal bother if the kids overheat so they're sent home, dragging parents out of work to look after them. It's therefore making it the parents' problem. I also realised yesterday that the pandemic has killed the snow day. When it snows now, kids will just have a day of remote schooling instead of having a day off. That's which is a true. Shame because where I grew up, we hardly ever had any snow because it's like right in the south tip of the UK. So on a snow day, that rare day, we'd be like out there when it's snowing with our rulers, just hoping that we don't have to go to school.
How many inches? Yeah, that's actually a good point. That's left me a little bit heartbroken there.
Mm. Got time for one more?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Razak was right. The definition of first world sensitivity. Hey, Ricky, weren't you supposed to have that bypass surgery today? I was, but it's so hot out. I couldn't be bothered to keep the appointment.
Yeah, pretty much. Now on to the taxes. Free Will says Kemi Badenoch will be never allowed to win, even if a majority of the MPs and membership want her to. The powers behind the scene always engineer it so that the two candidates presented to the membership for the final vote are both acceptable to the elites and not the populists. Johnson was not a populist, he just posed as one. That's all true, and sadly, Badenoch is in last place right now, now that it's just down to the four candidates. She did seem to be gaining some votes over yesterday. I think Liz Truss lost 7 votes and Kemi gained like 12 or something, but I don't know if that momentum will be enough to get her enough votes today to get her over the tipping line into tomorrow. And even then, will she get to the last two, even if she does get through to tomorrow? I doubt it. Ignacio Junquera says, it's disheartening for me to hear co-workers who are already struggling with money argue that taxes must be raised because of evil corporations and energy/oil companies. Ignoring that scummy companies just worm away from paying and taxing energy in general just raises our bills. I mean, this is the thing that is always funny. You just need to read a little bit of Thomas Sowell to know that, like, big corporations and people at the heads of those corporations will always have very sneaky ways of being able to avoid the taxes in the first place. I mean, the likelihood is they're probably best mates with the people raising taxes in the first place. So if they didn't have an agenda to be pushed with it that aligned with the politicians, it wouldn't happen in the first place. And if they tell me it's a fallacy that people with less taxes are able to buy more things or investing, and the comment cuts off there, but I can get where you were going with there. Thomas Howell says, the reality is we never recovered from the credit crunch, and these are the death throes of our global progressive regime. Yes, I agree entirely. I think probably the best thing to do is to just accept that we're in a recession, let it happen. It will probably be a global depression, but if that helps to right the ship that we're on right now, whereas right now we're just desperately trying to paddle the water out of it as it's sinking, then I think that's what we need to do. Lord Nerevar, personal opinion, that is absolutely not shared by the Lotus Eaters. If the punishment for a crime is a fine, it's only illegal for the lower classes. Ethically, you should never pay a fine for a minor infraction like speeding or similar. Disavow, though, lads. While I do completely disavow, there is a part of me that, having been caught speeding recently and having to go through a course on it and having to still pay a ridiculous fine, the only thing it saved me for going on the course was a few points on my license. Yes, because if I had millions in the bank, a few extra quid just for the fine, a few points on my license, which I can probably smooth over because of my connections in the first place, wouldn't be a bad thing, wouldn't be a problem. Just in B, unfortunately, all the candidates for Tory leadership have pledged to commit to net zero. Kemi did it in the last couple of days, so the Tories need to be removed completely. It's a shame that the opposition is still far worse than them or too small to get into power. Yep, that's the absolute trap that we're in over here in England right now, sadly. Colin Parker, the world will be so much better when we finally achieve the new feudalism, said no sane person ever. Yes. Drew Doomhand, conservatives don't cut taxes, change my mind. Sadly, I can't, because you've just stated truth there. Robert Longshaw, economic redistribution simply means financially destroying the West to maybe lift the poorer nations. But how is that going to happen when the West keeps draining the brains from the poorer nations? See, the trap you've fallen into there is believing them. I know you probably don't believe them, but potentially believing them when they say they want to help poorer nations. No, just to help themselves. They're in positions of power. They can use that power however they want and just try and sell various ways to the public of justifying it is horrendous, and I hate it. Matthew Griffith says, the UK is so screwed, I can't even find the words to properly describe it. It's a good run we had, but Tony Blair won, and we are all paying the price. Sadly, seems to be the case. Would you like to read the honourable mention?
Sure. Tomo de Tank, interesting name. you should check out Covering the Climate Now initiative, which has been adding climate to every article possible to build public climate anxiety and drive the demand for change. Journalists signed up to this are not supposed to platform any doubts about climate claims. Only exaggeration and alarmism is allowed, even if it is obviously inaccurate or without evidence. So naturally, this will have an impact on voting, as they're only allowed explanations of regular seasonal weather events are imminent climate doom, which I absolutely agree with and was part of the reason I did the segment in the first place.
Yeah, it's clear fear-mongering, and sadly it's probably going to work on a lot of people. But anyway, that's all the time we've got for right now. Thank you very, very much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow again at 1 o'clock British summertime. Take care and goodbye.